Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, President Michael D. Higgins, we know, is a big fan of Bernese Mountain Dogs. Queen Elizabeth was never without her corgis. And who can forget the Bond baddie lovingly stroking the white Persian cat? So if you are a pet lover, which one is the pet that you will never forget? Is it your current dog, cat or budgie? Or perhaps you still talk about that rabbit you had when you were a child? Well, to explain this very special relationship and what it can do for us, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Sabina Brennan, who's a neuroscientist and psychologist, and Aileen Hickey, who's CEO of Parentline and animal lover, which is why, Aileen, you're with us this morning. You're very welcome. Sabina, you have four dogs, have you?
I do.
And what can you tell us, apart from your own love for the pets that you have in the house, about the research and what it shows us about the very special bond between dogs in particular and humans?
Yeah, I was just thinking about the Elizabeth Barrett Browning poem this morning when I was thinking about this piece and how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. It's a very strong attachment bond between pet owner and their dog, particularly in dogs. And actually, what's really interesting, so in psychology, there's, you probably have heard of it, attachment theory. Mm-hmm. And Bowlby is the person who came up with that theory. And there's four distinguishing characteristics of attachment that are observed in infants. And rather interestingly, those four are also observed in dogs. So one of those is what's called proximity maintenance, which means, you know, just that desire to be near someone we're attached to. And that happens with humans and dogs as well as infants. Then there's the safe haven, which is where, you know, an infant will return to the person they're attached to for comfort and safety when they feel afraid or threatened. Dogs will do that too. And then there's a secure base, which is where, you know, you, the parent or the dog owner, act as a secure base from which the child or your dog can explore the environment. And we have one of my dogs is a puppy. She's about 10, 11 months old. And I really see that with her. She'll go so far, you know, and then kind of come back to check I'm still there. Then there's separation anxiety and distress. That, you know, an infant will become anxious when the caregiver they're attached to leaves the room, and we can see that with dogs as well. So that's interesting. Yeah, so and what's interesting
to consider. I just want to bring Aileen in here now, because I remember reading a piece of research some time ago that said dogs have evolved to manipulate us with their eyes. Do you agree?
I do agree, because we have a Cavachon. She's about 8 years old now. Her name is Scout. Now we all adore her. She's, you know, there's seven people living in my house, well, family members obviously, and she's the only one that when I come through the front door doesn't ask for anything and gives me unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so she's the only one that gives me a full, delighted welcome all the time.
Just happy to see you.
She's
I don't need anything.
Because she's loyal and she's looking, you know, she's looking for very little, you know, a walk and a bit of food, you know, while the rest of them are looking for loads of stuff off me. So, you know, even on that attachment thing there, her happiest times, unfortunately, are when I'm sick, because she can't believe when she finds me inside in the bed during the day, because she'll spend the rest of the day just lying at the bottom of the bed looking at me, because, you know, it's that relationship. And actually, for me, it's kind of comforting having somebody with me when I'm sick, because the others wouldn't bring you a glass of water. So, you know, at least the dog is kind of looking after me.
The dog cares.
Yeah, the dog cares.
But you're a big animal person. Like, you've had them all, the rabbits and all sorts of things, haven't
you? Yeah, we've had we've ran the gamut. We have had a full menagerie. So at one stage we had probably about 20 rabbits at one time. We had five separate hutches. It was actually like running a rabbit farm. So that was totally unintentional.
It was a mistake.
It was. So we started off, we were given a present of two female rabbits. Now, clearly they weren't both female rabbits. So out of the two female rabbits, they had a litter of six or seven. So we started off, we called them, they were all after the Jackson family, we called them Latoya and Janet, and then after they had the babies, we had to change Janet to Michael. So we had Latoya and Michael, and then we had Jermaine, and we had Randy, and not just by name, sorry for saying that. And they then had more babies. And you know,
how did you stop this?
Well, I was giving them to the pet shop. I wasn't selling them to the pet shop. I was giving them to the pet shop. I'd give them for Christmas fairs. I give them to other people for Christmas presents. Like, people didn't want them as a Christmas present, but I was giving them as Christmas presents. Eventually, you know, now it took about 5 years before they all, you know, before they all finally died. And, you know, and as I say, at that stage, like, we literally had five hutches. We had no garden, effectively. Mm. We just had hutches. So it was literally like Watership Down. Like, you'd look into the garden.
Well, it sounds like it.
It was.
And which animal over your animal history was the one where you just, the pet you can't forget? You know, the one that you lost where you still think about the grief and the sadness?
Well, I think that there's two pets I can never forget. One is because of loss. We had a dog when we were growing up, a dog called Snoopy. She was a Jack Russell, and I absolutely adored Snoopy. And I think I was about 9. Now, she didn't do anything special. I did actually try and turn her into a circus dog, but she wasn't she wasn't up for jumping through the hoops that I tried to encourage her to do. But when she died when I was about 9, and my grandmother actually had died around the same time. And my mother said I cried way more when the dog died than when my grandmother died.
Poor granny.
Anyway, but I suppose she's kind of the pet that I can never forget, except that there is another pet that I can never forget. We also had a tortoise. At one stage,
I'm not surprised by this.
Yeah, the tortoise was called Speedy, as you do. And anyway, I had actually forgotten to tell my parents that we'd got a tortoise, and I collected my parents from the train station. This is about 12 or 14 years ago. I collected my parents from the train station, brought them to my house. We were told we should take the tortoise out and put her on the kitchen floor to walk around for a while to harden her shell. So before I left for the train station, I took Speedy out, put her on the kitchen floor to have a bit of a walk around. Anyway, collected my parents from the train station, brought them back, was making my father a cup of tea, and I heard my mother saying to my father, "Andrew, do you think that thing is battery operated?" And I heard my father saying that. "But Mary, it does seem to be moving." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And my mother said, "Your father's picked up all the toys from the floor, and she put the tortoise on the top of the television." Now, as I turned around, Speedy had one leg over the top of the television. So I did a leap like you've never seen, and I did save Speedy from either death or a cracked shell. And Speedy's still alive. So anyway, okay, it all ended well.
This conversation has gone in a direction I didn't expect, Sabina. But can I come back to the intense grief that people experience when they lose that one pet that they never will forget? And it is very intense, and it is a bereavement,
it is,
isn't it?
It is. It is a bereavement, and I should first kind of go back a little bit and explain, you know, that the bond is very real, because oxytocin, the hormone, which is known as the love hormone or the cuddle hormone, you get big surges of that anytime you interact with your pet, you know, when you cuddle them or they cuddle you or snuggle up in bed when you're sick or when you pet them. So that facilitates deeper and deeper bonding the more that happens. So it's a really, really strong, you know, bond that is there. It's a physiological bond. And yes, you know, when, and we've experienced it a lot because we've always had multiple dogs. You know, pet grief is very, very real. You were just saying, you know, that you cried more for your dog than your grandmother. And some people take exception when they hear that. But really, dogs and, you know, they are one of your family, and you might have seven in your house now, but then you'll have an empty house at one point.
I know.
And the dog
hopefully still have the dog. You know, all right, I'm going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, our time is out, but that was immensely enjoyable. Thank you both, Aileen and Sabina, for joining us. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.